From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know.
Hello, welcome to the show. My name is Noel, and there's a Matt-shaped void there.
Yes, it is all true. Our friend Matt, a longtime compatriot, is pursuing adventures that you will hear about very soon if all goes according to plan.
Which it will if we know Matt.
Right. He's a solid guy. Who am I? They call me Ben. We're here with our super producer, Paul Deckett. Most importantly, you are you, and you are here, and that makes this Stuff They Don't Want You to Know, an audio podcast that today is going to be about YouTube.
Yeah, that's kind of meta, right? Mm-hmm. Is that okay? Is this too much?
No.
Are we going to open up time space? Is it going to swallow us all into our own Ben and Noel-shaped void?
A didgeridoo portal, perhaps? Well, it's interesting because longtime listeners, as you know, we started this show years and years ago as a YouTube show, and slowly evolved into an audio podcast. So we have a little bit of a behind-the-scenes peek at the nuts and bolts, the strange arcane mechanics that drive YouTube. And this is nuts. We learned some strange stuff as we were preparing for this episode. What is America's largest social media platform? Most of us would say, you know, Facebook, maybe Instagram or something. It's not true. According to the Pew Research Center, 73% of U.S. adults use YouTube, either via desktop or mobile, and that compares to about 68% of U.S. adults who use Facebook. The numbers drop off precipitously after that. The distant third is Instagram. 35% of U.S. adults use it. 91% of adults aged 18 to 29 use YouTube. That's a massive number. 90% of anything is pretty impressive, right?
Well, what's even crazier, though, is that, like, that's 18 to 29, and a big segment of people on YouTube these days are kids.
Yes.
Bury in the lead there. Like, my kid is obsessed. They call them YouTubers and all this stuff and making me constantly feel like an old man. But it's pretty wild how much stuff there is out there that's specifically geared towards kids. And so, I mean, it's almost, when you take that into account, it's like 100%.
Right.
Of adults 18 to 29 and children.
Yes, yeah. That's a good point because even the number is so big, the proliferation is so great that even if you are an anti-YouTube person, you're like, it's bananas. That's not my thing. You will know someone who is very into it or at least casually watches it. And the thing about YouTube is you cannot get that big without making some waves. You know, it's sort of like the old argument about at the root of every fortune is some horrific crime. You know what I mean? It's similar to that. And YouTube's no stranger to controversy. So to find out how we got here and what kind of crazy cover-ups or conspiracies about YouTube exist in the present day, we have to look at how YouTube started. Here are the facts. It's not that old. The domain name, YouTube.com, wasn't activated until February 14th, 2005.
I have a very distinct memory of visiting L.A. for the first time right around that time and seeing somebody working the box office at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater on a site called YouTube that I was like, what the heck is that? Mm-hmm. What is this YouTube?
Yeah. And the first video wasn't even uploaded until April of that year, April 23rd.
What was the video? It was something really banal. It was like a dude playing with his dog or something.
It's one of the co-founders of YouTube. Yeah, it's called Me at the Zoo, and the guy's at the San Diego Zoo. But just a year later, a little more than a year later, on October 9th, 2006, YouTube was purchased by Google for $1.65 billion. You know what I mean? That's insane. A lot of us in the audience today became familiar with Stuff They Don't Want You to Know due to those original YouTube videos. And we have to be very conscious of the fact that, look, YouTube did a lot for this show. It did a lot for many How Stuff Works shows.
Absolutely. You know?
And we could spend an entire episode on YouTube's history, but we should probably skip ahead. And for now, let's just note there's no argument that YouTube is a powerful thing. let's look at the numbers. We've got some statistics for you about YouTube today. 6 out of 10 people prefer online video platforms to live TV. So take that, Comcast.
Let them take something. They've been holding sway over the world of entertainment for too long.
At least here in our neck of the woods,
right?
Yeah,
for sure.
In an average month, 8 out of 10 18 to 49-year-olds watch YouTube. That's just a rephrasing of the other the similar statistic from earlier. In 2015, 18 to 49-year-olds spent 4% less time watching TV, and time spent on YouTube went up 74%, which means not only is YouTube taking away existing viewing time from traditional television, it's also adding viewing time.
Well, it's just like because it's like crowdsourced content, you know, anything you can think of, somebody has probably found it and uploaded it, even if it gets wiped by the web sheriff or whatever relatively quickly, it'll just pop up again somewhere else. So it's like, I mean, I've always found it pretty amazing what like obscure music videos or concert videos you can find, you know, I mean, it makes sense. It's just kind of like a rabbit hole you can go down.
Mm-hmm. And at least on the surface, the appeal of YouTube is that you are in charge of the tube. You don't have to wait until 8 p.m. every Wednesday to watch your favorite show. You can just pull up episodes and watch them whenever you want, or at least segments of episodes. You can see some weird, interesting stuff that you would not normally see on cable television. And also, you can navigate YouTube in around 76 different languages. The platform's launched in over 88 countries. There are actual YouTube millionaires. The highest earning one is a guy named Dan Middleton. In 2017, he made about $16.5 million from YouTube alone. And that's, I believe that's after YouTube or Google or their parent company Alphabet took their own toll, because they have a pretty hefty rate that they impose on every creator. And on average, there are 1 billion mobile video views per day.
1 billion.
This is insane. And Noel, let me ask you a question. Have you ever just had autoplay on when you have YouTube on in the background or something?
Yeah, I actually don't watch YouTube like that as much as some, but my roommate Frank does a lot. And it really does a good job of tracking his behavior and feeding him stuff that's right up his alley. So, I mean, obviously that algorithm has been finely tuned over some time, right? Is that what we're talking about today?
Yeah, that's what we're getting to. Yes, we are going to explore the strange consequences of trusting your taste and preferences to an incredibly complicated, smart piece of software, an algorithm that, largely without human intervention, attempts to figure out what you like, why you like it, and how to give you more of that. We'll be back after a word from our sponsor. All right, so Noel, hit me with it. The story of the algorithm. There's not some cadre of people just hiding in the next room purposely sending you videos when you watch stuff.
No, there are cadres of coders that fine-tuned this thing over time to a very sharp edge. So YouTube obsessively tracks everything that you watch, where you watch it, exactly how far into the video you make it, when you drop off, when you come back, and so on and so on and so on. And it's this continuing effort to figure out exactly what you like. And honestly, that's sort of the name of the game these days with any of these streaming services. It's like, I think Netflix actually crowdsourced or offered a prize to any outside coders that could figure out how to help them get their algorithm for movie recommendations 10% more accurate. Mm-hmm. And they paid out to some outside coders who did figure out how to do that thing. So it's the more accurate your recommendations are, the more likely people are to stay on the platform and not, you know, go outside, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You can sandbox them much more effectively. And ultimately, you know, the goal is to get you to buy something. It's important to note that almost every digital enterprise does something like this these days. Hulu, Netflix, as you said, Amazon, eBay, Facebook, when you watch a Facebook video. Of course they do that. That data is gold, and as we know, recent years have proven, if you are not paying for a service, that means you are the product, right?
Absolutely.
And even in this strange sphere, YouTube occupies a unique area in the horizon of digital entertainment. They're right on the edge, and they're super huge. So whenever they move, there are going to be waves and unforeseen ripple effects throughout the industry. There are 1.5 billion YouTube users in the world today, and that's more than the number of households that own televisions. What they watch is shaped by this algorithm that you just described, Noel. It's automated largely. It skims and ranks billions of videos to identify 20 clips that'll show up in the right rail of the YouTube screen that are called up next. And they're supposed to be relevant to a previous video you just watched. And statistically, they're supposed to be entirely designed or entirely curated for the sole purpose of keeping your eyes on the screen. And they're very, very good at it, but there are very, very few public explanations about how this actually works. It's a bit of a black box. YouTube engineers, in some of their papers published on this, describe it as one of the largest scale and most sophisticated industrial recommendation systems in existence. So in many ways, the story of how YouTube figures out what you watch is a story of incredible innovation and amazing breakthroughs in communication. However, according to a growing body of critics, there's much, much more to the story, and you should be disturbed. Here's where it gets crazy.
Ooh, you going to disturb me, Ben?
I think we'll all be disturbed here.
You going to shake my worldview?
I don't know, but I might shake up your YouTube views.
All right, do it.
Let's see. So first things first, this algorithm is proprietary, and we know that it works. Hard stop. And it's also constantly being tinkered with. The engineers and the coders in that cadre we mentioned earlier are constantly going back and saying, well, what if we adjust this value, or what if we prioritize, for instance, watch time or some other aspect of the great formula. So the nuts and bolts of this process are literally the stuff they don't want you to know. YouTube does not want you to know the intricacies of how this works. It's like the Coca-Cola recipe. It's a secret formula. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, not to be alarmist or anything. It's not necessarily sinister. They just want to keep their competitors from stealing their work or one-upping them, or they want to protect their jobs. But it does lead us to ask, what keeps someone glued to the screen? Is it something that makes them happy? Is it just smiling children and someone softly playing acoustic guitar?
That sounds nice.
Yeah, it does, right?
Yeah.
Well, the algorithm has determined that certain videos or certain kinds of videos will tend to have a much higher likelihood of keeping people glued to YouTube, but these are not nice videos for the most part. In fact, they're divisive. They're downright, some would argue, inappropriate, especially considering that it's pretty easy for a kid to just watch whatever they want on YouTube. One of the things we have to point out, though, Noel, it's so true, YouTube loves videos about conspiracy theories.
They really do.
Yeah. Have you ever been on YouTube and you're watching something and then all of a sudden it pops up with an Alex Jones or a flat Earth thing?
Absolutely.
It's so nuts. And it makes me wonder, you know, we do a lot of weird research here, but in some cases I felt insulted when that stuff popped up. You know what's been stalking me around YouTube recently?
Tell me, Ben.
It's a How Stuff Works video about corn.
Huh.
I don't know why.
Did you have anything to do with said video, Ben?
I don't think so.
No.
No. It's just a video about corn.
Interesting.
I haven't watched it, but maybe I'll cave. So this tendency of conspiracy videos to get promoted on the trending or up next autoplay kind of stuff has disturbed a lot of people because these videos, there seems to be a relationship between how outlandish they are and how well they do with this algorithm. YouTube came under fire a while back for promoting videos claiming that the Las Vegas mass shooting was a hoax because survivors and the families of the victims were stunned and outraged. This was just a few days after the shooting, which occurred at Mandalay Bay. And this kind of proliferation concerns educators and media pundits because they feel like people will fall into a sort of autopilot. And, you know, instead of seeing a video pop up and thinking, I better check another source to see if that's correct, their concern is someone will read something about the U.S. capturing all guns and forcing people to use gold for all financial transactions. And they won't go to another source to check it. They'll just figure since it popped up on YouTube, it must be true.
I mean, that's what I would assume. I'm kidding. But yeah, I mean, they're definitely capitalizing on people's kind of gullibility here.
So what do you do, Noel, when you're showing your kid YouTube stuff or she's watching it?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to sort of peg myself here as not being the most conscientious parent with that because I sort of like – I kind of trust her to know what she's doing, but I know there's a lot of nefarious stuff going on there. She typically watches DIY videos and like gamer type videos like Dan TDM and stuff like that and a lot of like kind of crafty videos or like some of those, oh, here's a satisfying slice of cake or whatever, you know. But – she's so good at self-monitoring that I really don't worry about it. But maybe I'm going to learn something in this episode today that's going to make me feel like I should.
Yes. Well, we'll see. Forward into the breach, into the digital void. After, that is, a word from our sponsors. And we're back. Yes, there are controversies in the algorithm. There are people alleging that there is a ghost in the machine. It gets worse than just maybe a disrespectful video in the wake of a tragedy. Some unidentified groups, and this is something you and I had talked about off air, Noel, have conspired to game YouTube's algorithm and hack things like YouTube Kids. They're targeting children with strange prank content. So there's a character beloved by British children named Peppa Pig.
Oh, I know all about Peppa Pig.
I'm sure. Yeah, you do. Okay. Well, tell us a little bit about Peppa Pig.
It's a two-dimensional British pig.
British?
Yep.
It's two-dimensional British pig.
Yeah.
And this pig does the kinds of things you would expect it to do on a children's show. But someone went through and took advantage of the algorithm such that children would watch maybe several clips, 1 to 3 clips or so of Peppa Pig just on autoplay. And then next thing you know, it shows there's a new clip that shows Peppa Pig eating her father or drinking bleach. This is very, very disturbing stuff for children to see.
I'm actually texting with my kid right now and I asked her to tell me about Peppa Pig. And let's see if she's seen any of these crazy Peppa Pig videos. But I don't think she has. She would have said something about it.
Yeah. Well, we'll get an update in real time then. Lewd and violent videos also do very well in this algorithm, or at least they get a lot of support in the system. There was one YouTube creator who was banned from monetizing or making ad revenue from his strange videos because they were disturbing things. There were videos of his children getting flu shots, removing earwax, crying because their pets died, and this guy's defense was that he had only been responding to the demands of the YouTube formula, the algorithm. That's what got us out there and popular, he said. We learned to fuel it and do whatever it took to please the algorithm. That's kind of weird, you know, filming bad stuff happening to your children.
Yeah, that's insane.
And we should stop for a second to talk about monetization. People make videos that feed this algorithm because once those videos are monetized, meaning they can slap an ad on the front of it, more views will equal more money eventually. And research suggests that this creates a feedback loop of sorts, with conspiratorial, divisive, sensational, and violent videos becoming the best use of time for creators, at least in terms of the bang for their buck, clockwise. And up to this point, we have just been discussing creeps on the internet, soulless, Skynet-like algorithms exploiting the same primal emotional responses that make us slow down and gawk at car accidents. But, and this is the disturbing part, this is a very big but, This is much more dangerous than a few creeps trolling with inappropriate cartoons. According to a former YouTube engineer, a guy named Guillaume Chazlot, YouTube is something that looks like reality but is distorted to make you spend more time online. And he says the recommendation algorithm is not optimizing for things that are truthful or balanced or healthy for democracy. And so when he left YouTube, officially he wasn't up to snuff performance-wise, but he said he was pushed out because he was agitating with other engineers to get a less dangerous algorithm or to change what it values over just watch time. And he went on to make his own efforts at transparency to show the public how the YouTube algorithm works. He believes that he's found shocking examples of this stuff going very wrong. One was the run-up to the 2016 presidential election. Could you tell us a little bit about this?
Absolutely. So he actually observed in a short, relatively under-the-radar Blogspot post that was published after Trump was elected, that the impact of YouTube's recommendation algorithm was not a neutral thing at all during the presidential race. In fact, it was pushing videos that were largely helpful to the Trump campaign and damaging to the Clinton campaign. He said it was strange. Wherever you started, he said, whether it was from a Trump search or a Clinton search, the recommendation algorithm was much more likely to push you in a pro-Trump direction.
Which is fascinating because regardless of our individual opinions for or against a particular candidate, the problem here is not personally what anyone would vote for. You know what I mean? It's bigger than that. It's deeper than that. The problem here is that YouTube is functioning under the illusion of neutrality. Like an old television set, you are supposed to control the tube, but increasingly it appears the opposite is true and the tube is controlling you. The illusion of neutrality goes hand in hand with the illusion of agency, right, or choice. This leads us to some unanswered questions. We don't know what will change or how. We can check back in. Did the kiddo get back to you?
She just said she hasn't seen any of the creepy Peppa Pig videos.
Oh, well, that's great news.
Yeah, it
that's
is great news.
So we have some morals to the story. We have some unanswered questions. One, you cannot let your kids run wild on YouTube. You have
Damn
to be
it.
Very careful.
All right. I'm taking that one under advisement.
And we also have to remember to discern fact from fiction. Just because a flat Earth video pops up in your feed doesn't make Earth flat. It just means you should double check anything you see. And there's very, very little chance that YouTube will change the core functionality of its system anytime soon. There's just so much money on the table. So it is up to us to change our own behavior or at least be more aware of the ways in which we interact with this digital behemoth, which I'm going to go ahead and say it. All in all, you know, taking into account all the pros and all the cons, I think YouTube is actually a great thing. But we want to hear from you. Are we living in an increasingly distorted reality? Are our decisions being guided by algorithms that may not be as fair as they would have us believe? Or is the opposite the case? Is this not a big deal? No one should worry about it. Just skip the weird stuff. Let us know what you think.
Yeah, you can write to us on Facebook. We have a private group there called Here's Where It Gets Crazy, or you can just go to the Facebook page where you can find us at Conspiracy Stuff. Or if you want to go to Instagram, we're at Conspiracy Stuff Show. Twitter, we're just Conspiracy Stuff. And we've got that handy-dandy phone number that you can call in and leave us some voicemails if you so choose. What's that number, Bill?
Oh, yeah. It's 1-833-STDWYTK.
I finally got in on it.
It's so fun to say that.
Well, you guys always do it, and I never catch it in time. And this time, I was on the ball.
There you go, on the ball. And if you would like to hang out with us live, we have great news. We're going on tour. We're hitting the road. Will this episode be out while we're on tour?
I'm not quite sure, Ben.
Well, if you're listening to this and it is after October 23rd, just find us. Go find the live show tab on stuffthatonewantyouknow.com and catch us in a city near you.
Please do. And if none of that appeals to you, you can send us a good old-fashioned email where we are.
Conspiracy at HowStuffWorks.com.